you're going to children's church, now is the time. Thank you, Paul, for that new hymn. Kind of a cool one. This morning, I'm going to jump in a minute. I'm going to jump right in. If you would turn to your Bibles, if you're following along, to the Gospel of Mark, the very last chapter, the very last few verses. Jesus said to them, oh, you could read it on the screen too if I do that. Hang on, what's going on? Back me up. Okay. One click. There we go. All right. This is Jesus. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, I chose to read all of those verses. That last one, the picking up snakes and the drinking deadly poison, I think we need to be a little bit cautious here, just a little bit. There's got to be a line between living by faith and using the brains God gave us, don't you think? There is no command to drink poison or to handle snakes, but we do pray expectantly and for protection. The part I want to focus on is the first part. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. The question I have is, are we really okay with that? I mean, that part. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. I mean, we know people. We know good people who they may not believe. We don't know if they believe because we never talked to them about it. We know people that we might expect, but we don't know it for sure. And what are we doing? What are we doing so that they will believe? A couple of Sundays ago, we looked at Matthew's version of this Great Commission. And that was the Sunday that many of you were on the road already to Kentucky to go to Big Creek and to serve for a week. And I shared stories of people that God used as they were going through life and what they had done. Each of those people had been instrumental in beginning mission organizations, which have all grown and continued to serve people and operate for over 20 years. And then last week, we were privileged to hear about the work God did in and through the group we sent to Kentucky. We heard some great testimonies, didn't we? And we left here challenged to go and live out the gospel every day. I hope you were challenged. I was challenged. Now, we've done this for several years, and this happens this way every year. The week before the trip, we have the people who are going come up to the front, and we lay hands on them, and we kind of fill up the aisles and across the front here, and we pray. And then sometime later that day, somebody who was sitting in the balcony thought, wow, that looks really cool, and they took a picture, because it forms a cross when we get in this little formation here, and they always send me a picture. Somebody always sends me a picture of that. And then the next Sunday, early in the morning, the mission trippers bring their stuff. And we pack them into cars like sardines, and we send them off to Kentucky. And then we don't usually hear much through the week, because at Big Creek, to get cell phone reception, you have to be in just the right spot, standing just the right way, holding your phone in just the right spot, and your mouth just so, in order to send any kind of messages or receive any kind of messages. But we know, even though we don't hear from them, they are having the time of their lives, having a tremendous time. And then when they return, we line the chairs up here, and they all get a moment to share the highlight of their week. And some of those highlights are pretty amazing testimonies, really. We hear about how lives have been changed. And some of those stories that we've heard in the past are maybe some stories that would have been better left unsaid at church, but that's the danger of giving the teens microphones. It's always great to hear the things that were learned about themselves, the missionaries, and about what they learned about God. And then it's always amazing to hear about the people they serve. I know last week, by the time they left, my eyes had been leaking a lot. I love it to see when God is moving and working in our people, especially the young people. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." We send the youth on these trips because it will be good for them. Of course it's good for them. It's absolutely good for them. It's good for all of us. Everyone needs a better understanding of how other people in other places live. We all need to understand that the world is a big place, and the world doesn't revolve around us. Trips like going to Big Creek are really a good way to do that. And then when we hear about the work that they did and the people they met, we should be challenged. I know Kevin Rogers, the director at Big Creek, does not expect you to go and serve and then go home and stop serving. Expects you to come home and be motivated and inspired to continue serving. And when the people who went were up here and they shared, were any of you challenged by what the team said? Is anybody here challenged by that? Nobody? Come on, people. I was challenged. Did you notice anything specific that somebody said? Anything? Anything specific? Say that again.
Everyone has value.
Everyone has value. Mia McKeag said that. I remember it. What else? Did anybody...
Almost without exception, all those kids and the adults expressed the compassion they had for anybody they worked with.
Yes, thank you. Anybody else have something that was spoken?
Drew McCaig made the comment that God stretches our comfort zone and gives us peace when we're being stretched.
Yes, excellent. I wrote that one down. I remembered the one that Mia said too. I didn't have exactly the wording, so I didn't have it written down. So were you challenged? What did you do this week? Putting you on the spot. What happened this week in your lives because of what you heard from the mission team that was here last week? What was different?
Prayed for our servers when we went out to eat.
You went out to eat and prayed for your servers. Very good. What else? What'd you do this week, Mike?
Fished and planned helping a young lady at church who isn't here, I don't think, with her kids.
Great. I heard about something else you did too. Kathy, will you tell us what Mike did?
Mike helped me set up at the farmer's market yesterday out of the goodness of his heart.
Yeah. What else? What else did you do?
Sent out the need for prayers. If somebody needs something, send it out and we can all pray for them.
Yeah, we can pray. What else? Kathy Cree, what did you do?
I was with Vicki this week and with Mark and Lucy this week for Aaron's surgery.
It was amazing. Lucy and I are waiting in the room with Aaron before he had his appendix out. Lucy gets a text from Kathy. Says, "I'm in the waiting room. I'm in the surgery waiting room." And she was there when we came out. It was wonderful. We sat and we visited. You know who else showed up? Debbie Spencer showed up. And you know who else showed up? Probably not, because she's my neighbor. Susan Von Tobel showed up. What else happened this week? What did you guys do?
Mike took Aaron a gallon of milk.
Mike Rose, what did you do? People are telling on you. You're going to have to say it yourself.
That's not nice. I took a gallon of milk to Aaron Marshall.
Awesome. That growing boy needs a gallon of milk. What else?
Yesterday, four or five, six of us served my neighbor, and we took care of her leaking roof and replaced the other side. We started it a couple weeks ago and finished it. The roof portion, we got siding to put up still, but we served her and showed her Christ.
Excellent. Anything else? Ben, what'd you do last night at the ball game?
Watched it.
He watched the ball game. You know what else he did? He brought me and Lucy a frozen treat. It was delicious. Thank you. And he picked up people's trash. Took it and threw it away. Anything else you did?
I helped my grandparents move.
Oh.
My adopted grandparents.
Your adopted grandparents moved. You helped them move this week. Yeah. That was a whole family thing. You guys could have all raised your hand for that one.
So I don't want a mic again. So a couple of the kids from the mission trip, we are going to start going to a nursing home once a week and do spa day there or whatever we can think to do. We're getting that organized to do.
Very cool. I heard about another ministry that's getting started here. Mike Clausen said he was going to do some nursing home ministry also. Let's see. Did I get all the ones that I wrote down? Almost. Kathy Cree didn't tell you the whole story. She came in this morning and we were sitting back in the fellowship hall. And she's carrying a little bag, she's got a little handle on it. And she sets it down in front of Debbie Spencer and she says, "When I saw this, I thought of you." She brought her a gift. What a sweet thing. Now I know you guys were probably all doing something and you're just too shy to share. And if you weren't, that's going to be okay. You've got this week. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It might be on the screen. Hey, look at that. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our message?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. At our house, we have a couple of acres, and there's probably acre and a half or ish, something like that, that we mow. I'm sorry, excuse me, that Lucy mows. I don't mow very much, but she does. She likes it. I like the yard. I like to look out in the backyard in the spring as it's turning green, and then as the green is polluted with those little yellow dots, you know, those dreaded dandelions. Those dandelions are smart little critters. I think when you mow, they duck. Yeah, they do. Because the next day, boink, they're popping up. And the only thing out there is just that little fluffy dandelion part, right? And then what happens? The wind blows. And those little fluffy things go. And we've got a fresh crop of dandelions over here, from the seeds that blew on. Those fuzzy little seeds are designed by God to do that, so that the dandelions multiply. The way God's children multiply is through His word. We share His good news. Doing nice things helps us build relationships with people. But how can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear if someone doesn't speak to them? What are the things that keep us from speaking and sharing what we know? We know freedom. We know peace. We have hope in a hopeless world because we know Jesus. So what are the barriers? What's stopping us? What are the barriers from sharing the good news? What keeps us from being the ones who are speaking? people say the number one reason is fear. And that might be true. I don't know. I think fear of failure is something that keeps a lot of people from just trying anything new or different. We run that worst case scenario thing through our minds until we believe that the worst case scenario is what's going to happen, so then we don't even try. Then there's also the fear of what other people will think or say about us. And this is a dangerous, dangerous fear, because essentially that is idolatry. We're making ourselves the focus rather than making God the focus, or what we know He wants us to be doing. And if the number one reason that people don't share their faith isn't fear, I'm afraid it might be apathy. Maybe we're just not concerned with other people. If we took a survey, we like surveys, right? Answer the questions, check the boxes. No, not necessarily. I don't think that apathy would score very highly, because nobody, especially Christians, nobody wants to admit that they really don't care about other people. But if we look at our calendars, if we look at our prayer life, what have we been doing to intentionally spend time with or pray for people who are spiritually lost? People we know, our neighbors, our friends, family members. Do we even do anything with non-Christian friends? Then another claim for why people don't talk about their faith in Christ is just basically a lack of confidence. Well, what if somebody asks me a question and I don't know the answer? Or what if I say something wrong? What if my story is boring? What if my story doesn't have any power? What if Babe Ruth never picked up a baseball bat? What if Michael Jordan never touched a basketball? We don't know until we try. We get better at the things we do. We get better at the things we practice. You know your own story. Practice it. Today, at lunch. You'll probably eat lunch today. You might even eat it with some people. Take a moment. Go around the table. Everybody gets a minute. 60 seconds, no longer. Share your testimony. Share what God has done in your life. Practice. Then when opportunities arise, you will have at least practiced it, and then trust that the Holy Spirit will give you the words to share. And then the fourth barrier, this is not all conclusive in terms of this list. This is just four for today. This one is closely related to the second that says apathy. Along with not caring much about the lost, we have a lack of compassion. We don't think about the punishment of eternal destruction. We don't consider the hopelessness that people live in. Have you ever been in a busy store, maybe a restaurant, or a big crowd like a ball game or a concert? You ever been in those places where there's people all around, and you look around at the people, and I don't mean just the people you're there with, the whole crowd. All of those people have a story. If there's 50,000 people there, there's 50,000 stories. Now, I know none of us have time for 50,000 stories. But how about enough compassion to listen to a couple? We all have the same amount of time. Thanks to Tim Timmons, I know there are 10,080 minutes in a week. We decide how to use our minutes. Now, I know most of us have to sleep. A lot of us go to work. Some of us have to go to school. We have a little bit of choice about the number of minutes we spend at work and doing schoolwork. The rest of the time is ours to spend. Now, our perspective and our priorities guide us to spend the time wisely or waste the time. Sometimes we try to make time. You can't make time, even though we try to make time. You can't make time. And there are many claims and advertisements about ways to save time. But at the end of the day, it's the end of the day. We wonder where the time went. We wish we had set a time aside so that we could spend time with someone who needs our time. The time we spend together in here in worship, it's important to gather each week together. God wants us to gather together and honor Him and worship Him as corporate worship. And while we're here together, we're also supposed to support each other, build each other up. We have 10,080 minutes in a week. Only about 80 minutes are we in here together. What are we doing with the other 10,000 minutes? As we face these barriers during the week, we need to be ready to share our time. I got to tell you, the devil is happy you're busy. It means you'll be focused on your stuff. You won't be concerned about anybody else. You won't be spending your time taking care of anybody or loving on anybody else. There won't be any need for you to be compassionate because you'll be busy. That's tough to hear, isn't it? It's tough to say. Sometimes being ready to share our time means lending a helping hand. Maybe it means lending a listening ear. And time is not a renewable resource. And when you think about that, the week spent at Big Creek represents a week of somebody's summer break. The week at Big Creek represents a week of somebody's hard-earned vacation time. A week at Big Creek may also represent an unpaid week of hard work. Now, they knew what they were signing up for when they signed up. So they spent time getting ready. Pastor Nick worked hard to prepare the group so it would be a strong team, ready to take on any issues, any problems, anything that was asked of them. They went, and they experienced some things they didn't expect to experience. Those are the moments when we say we're stretched, pulled out of our box, pulled out of our comfort zone. So I want to give you a few things to help you get ready, to get out of your comfort zone, to stretch you, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first one is you have to believe in the impossible. In the mission field, we run into many impossible situations. Obviously, everything must be covered in fervent prayer, expectant prayer. And some of those situations that you run into that seem impossible require creative thinking and creative use of available resources. Other things require an absolute miracle. God works in amazing ways. Ask me sometime about the medical mission team who is ready to leave from Refuge Ranch. Everybody's gathered. They're there at the ranch. The next morning, we're supposed to leave. We're supposed to take a van that now has a slipping transmission with burnt fluid. Transmissions don't heal themselves, but nothing is impossible with God. Now, more important than vehicles and various situations are the people. The Bible says we all need a Savior, every one of us. When everything seems to be going great in this life, everything is just perfect, that kind of seems impossible too. What do I need a Savior for? What are you going to save me from? You didn't forget that already, did you? The good news is that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to sacrifice his life for us, for our sakes, for the payment of our sins. He did the impossible. After he took our punishment, he was dead. He rose to life. And now he's with God, standing there, representing us, speaking for us. He conquered death, took the punishment for our sins. Who does that? Only a living, loving Savior. If you haven't trusted him with your eternity, today is the day that you should do that. As impossible as that may seem, nothing is impossible with God. And when you do that, or if you have questions about that, tell somebody. Come and talk to Pastor Nick, or come and talk to me. Grab an elder, a deacon, grab whoever's sitting next to you. Say, hey, there's something going on, and I want some of that. Then the next thing we need to be ready, is be willing. Like I said before, our busy schedules are really no excuse. We need to be willing to share some time with people. And that may mean stopping the project and listening to a troubled soul. And that may mean scheduling time to go to lunch or have coffee with somebody. That may mean sacrificing time with a loved one so that you can spend time with someone else who needs some help. It may mean sacrificing some time at work to spend some time with a loved one. We don't know what any day holds for us. We get up in the morning. If we pray for opportunities, if we watch for open doors, God will use us in ways that we might have thought were impossible. Be willing. Be bold. You know, courage is what you have when you're able to go ahead with what you know is right, even though you're afraid to do it. By taking time to help, or taking time to listen, we build relationships, we build credibility. By spending time with people, we gain opportunities to share our own stories, to share our own faith. What's God helped you with? And then be ready to answer questions like, why are you helping me? That's a great opportunity to talk about the love of God. Then the third thing I have for you to be ready, is to be okay with rejection. This is hard. The other night at Bible study, we were talking about planting seeds, and gospel seeds, not dandelion seeds. We were planting gospel seeds. And our tendency is we want things to happen right now. We want to share everything that we believe, and we want people to believe what we believe, and we can't believe they won't believe it because we can't, because it's just so good. Why don't they believe it? So we're planting these seeds. And then when people aren't interested, people don't seem to care, people don't want to believe right now, we feel defeated. We want to share the good news that's so good to us, we can't believe others don't believe it. We want to plant that seed and water that seed, see that seed sprout and grow and bear fruit. But that part's the Holy Spirit work. We just plant the seeds. The Spirit convicts that person. And maybe it's because they've heard it for the 109th time that they're finally convicted. That seed will sprout. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Be okay with rejection. Be patient and persistent. Keep sharing. I love being here with you every Sunday morning. I love worshiping God with you through the songs and the prayers, sharing the word. Coming to church is how we remain connected to the body of Christ, the church, the Big C church. Coming together to worship God is our time that we spend honoring God and all that He does for us every day, all week long. The greater honor to God, though, is not how religious we are about church attendance. Worshiping together is very important. But being here every time the doors are open and the lights are on does not create an automatic ticket to heaven. We don't earn tickets to heaven. But James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Our heart of worship needs to extend beyond our time in church. We are the church. All you people, look around. See these people? You're the church. We have a really nice building. It's cool in the summertime. It's raining this morning. We're dry inside. It's warm in the wintertime. We have very comfortable chairs. We could sit here for hours, couldn't we? Let's not let these walls, be barriers to the gospel. We have 10,000 minutes to get outside of these walls and up off of our chairs. Go into all the world, preach the good news to to all creation. That person you've been thinking about, well, I have been talking today, needs to hear from you. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge to go out into the world, for the commission, for the promise that you will be with us everywhere we go. Lord, you are a mighty, mighty God. We give you thanks and praise, and we trust you that you will go with us. You will give us courage. You will give us boldness. You will give us patience to share your word as many times as it takes. Go with us from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.